think 7,427 times in the 24 minutes that she was up here. We had a little clicker here. We were just looking at it, and Brother Grant says, can you believe she has not stopped jumping since she started? She comes over to our house. She's such a delightful kid. And the moment she walks in the house, she starts laughing. I don't know what, and maybe it's just me, but she laughs, and they go downstairs, and they laugh, and they giggle, and they all half the night long. And that goes to an old proverb I heard on a Norwegian plaque I had. Youth is wasted on youth. I said that for Glenn Rossing's sake. Praise God. You know, on our church prayer meeting, we had such a wonderful move of the Lord, and Pastor Roy has introduced a new focus praying that we're going to be doing for the remainder of the year. We're so excited about what God has in store for us. We went through our vision statement, and now I can see the hand of God throughout everything we've been doing. And the 20,000 soul revival that we saw, talked about, I guess, last year, in 2007 is when Pastor Grant put it forth. This is becoming a reality, so praise God. I've been having trouble with my eyes. My glasses are wearing out. I can barely see some of you, so you can periodically wave your hand. I looked in the scripture, and it says that my peepers are dimming. My grinders are few. I love every minute of it. Praise God. Jesus told us that it's possible to have ears and not hear and to have eyes and not see. Spiritually speaking, we need to have spiritually corrected vision. You know, there's a lot of talk today about being politically correct. But you know, in the spirit world, it's very important that we understand that we need to be spiritually corrected. We need to have our heart and mind focused on the Word of God. So let's turn in the Bible. These promises in this particular portion of Scripture, I have been feasting on these for the last 32 years. I cannot get enough of them. I am so excited every time I read them. I just get renewed in the Holy Ghost because I guess as a spiritual entrepreneur, I'm just always looking for the next way we can draw closer to God. You know, with all these wonderful things God has promised us, why not? Why not you? Why not me? Praise God. Somebody is going to stand up and declare the promises of God. Somebody is going to say, you know, I believe. I really believe that God can do exactly what he has said in his book. Amen. Ephesians 1 and 3, and this is a prayer that Paul prayed for the church. And Ephesians 1 and 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, that's you and I, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. When I pray that prayer, I like to put my name in that. You know, I like to pray that like Pastor Grant encourages us to pray, put our name in the 13th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, because it gives it more meaning, it gives it more emphasis. And, you know, faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. So when you begin to, these promises are not for somebody over there. These promises are for us. Praise God. And the Bible says that we, with all spiritual blessing, I guess that all means all. And it's already a done deal. Praise God. Ephesians 1 and 4, according as he hath chosen us, that put your name in there, Mark, in him, before the foundation of the world. Can you feature, before God said, let there be light, can you feature God had you in his eye? He saw you, he knew you, he understood you. He had a solution for every circumstance of your life. He had wanted you to be holy and without blame before him in love. And here we all are. We're all imperfect. We're all struggling with different things. But guess what? God knew all about you before you ever got here, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. that the God of your Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give Phil Demas the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Praise God. And vision. You know that word revelation there means vision. We've been talking about vision. You have to visualize some things in your mind before you can actually receive them. You follow what I'm saying? You have to see these things in your mind's eye. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith, we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, and things which are seen are not made by things that do appear. So the things that we see around us, they're just temporary. They're things that God created. And he's given us that creative ability. Praise God. The eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I might know what is the hope of his calling. You know, sometimes I struggle to wrap my mind around eternity. What we're doing here has eternal value. If we do it right, and if we get all this clutter out of our life, we're going to go from this world to the next world, and we're going to live eternally. I said we're going to live eternally, forever and ever, in the presence of the Almighty God. Are you enlightened with that? Does that push some of the cares of this life out of your heart? Praise God. You need to focus on the righteousness and the goodness of God. Praise God. My understanding, I want it to be enlightened. Ephesians 1 and 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? Praise God. Usward who believe. That's the title of my message. It's usward who believe. All these promises are to those people who believe them, who focus on them, who allow their life to be focused around the Spirit and the presence of the Almighty God. I don't know about you, but I'm getting off on this. I love this stuff. I'm so excited because there's no limit to what you can receive from God. And I'm not talking about spiritual things. I'm talking about eternal things. I'm talking about God speaking to you and speaking to me and telling us to go down to a street called Straight and to go knock on somebody's door. And when you get there, they're going to be looking for something from God. Praise God. You know, we need to trust with all of our heart. And that's not as easy as it might sound. You know, in reading this scripture over the years, there's four little words there that I always overlooked, and that's to usward who believe. That just puts it in a dimension. Every one of us have the authority and the ability to receive everything that God has for us. This is about souls. If we can get it right, we can win this world. If we get it right, we're going to see apostolic revival like we have never seen before. If we can believe, all things are possible to those who believe. Is anybody alive tonight? Do you believe this, or is this just a few people that believe this? Anybody that believes this, raise your hand, would you? Hallelujah. I can see some of your hands. Praise God. Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Listen, all power has been given to Jesus. And guess who he gave that power to? He turned that apostolic power to his church that we could conduct his business. In his name, we become the power of attorney. Wouldn't you have loved to be one of the disciples that Jesus sent out of the 70 that went two by two and they laid hands on the sick and they recovered and cast out devils in his name? And I used to think that until I read Mark 16. Listen, the Bible says, these signs shall follow those who believe. There's that word again, believe. The only thing between you and your miracle is believing God's word. Praise God. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall what? Cast out devils. Cast out any devils lately? Are you a believer? We all speak in other tongues, those of us who are baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. We do speak in other tongues, but why not laying hands on the sick and they recover? This is not something that is for the elite few evangelists that come through, like Brother Crowder, who's had 10,000 conversions and numerous healings. This is to us word who believe. Praise God. I don't know. I guess it's okay for me to be excited because I'm the ones up here and I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. So if you don't feel it, that's okay. I'm getting a blessing. Oh, these signs shall follow them that believe. Listen, look at David. His mind was enlightened. How else could David stand up as a little boy and attack a giant that's 10 foot 6 inches tall and said to him, "Hey, you come after me with a sword and a spear, you uncircumcised Philistine. I come after you in the name of the Lord." His mind was enlightened. How does Daniel get into the lion's den rather than just say, "Listen, if I stop praying for a day, nobody's going to say anything." He says, "Okay, if that's what I have to do, I'll gladly go into the lion's den because I'm going to pray three times a day." Three Hebrew men, they went into the fiery furnace because their minds were enlightened. Light shines into darkness, and darkness just does not understand it. When the devil comes by to fill your mind with doubt and fill your mind with fear, if you are enlightened, you will come against him as if he was not even there. It can happen, but listen, why allow him to take advantage of us? Praise God. This is about winning souls. I want my eyes of my understanding to be enlightened, not so that anybody say, "Oh, that Brother Thomas is such a spiritual man." No, I want to be able to look back when my life is over and be able to think back of the people that I've ministered to, the people that I've had a hand in their salvation, the people who I've run across that maybe would not have known the Lord had we not taken the time to get to them. Praise God. I don't know who they are. You know, I can't remember half of them, but I know this. If you continue to do something positive every day for the Lord, if you continue to seek him with all your heart, you continue to pray, continue to fast, your eyes will become enlightened, and this will become second nature. You'll stop struggling with the mundane things of this life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. How silly would it be to go back into a world that was eating you up, taking you out to lunch every day and eating you up? Why would you want to go back there when you know there is absolutely nothing there but tragedy and sickness and sorrow and all kinds of crazy things? Now, if that scripture that I just read, if that stopped down, if it just stopped there, that would be probably enough to make me sing hallelujah for the rest of my days. But let's move down to Ephesians 1 and 20. For those of you who may not know, this is a Bible study. I want somebody to get up at the end of this and say, "You know what, I think I can do this. I don't think it's all that difficult. God didn't make it a rocket ship science. You don't have to have a PhD. You can actually do this before you graduate from Purpose Institute." Praise God. If you purpose in your mind that you're going to be enlightened, if you pray for wisdom and enlightenment, why wouldn't God give you the very things that you've been commanded to do? He commanded us to go to the harvest field. He told us it was our responsibility. It was our duty. Praise God. Now, he didn't send us out there without all kinds of tools and weapons. Praise God. Let's go to Ephesians 1 and 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Praise God. There's a lot of alls coming up here, but you want to pay attention to those when you go through your Bible next time. You want to read these scriptures. Ephesians 1:21. This is where Jesus is now sitting, far above, everybody say, all principality and power and might. All principle. You know, we fight against spiritual wickedness in high places. But he is now sitting far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Listen, when God speaks to you, that's the same God that said, "Let there be light." If he calls you to a mission field, he's calling you there because he plans on using you mightily. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But if it just stopped there, that would probably be enough for me. But Paul is praying to the church to receive revelation and vision. We need vision if we're going to fulfill God's word. God's will is God's word in this present life. You know what vision is? It's being able to see what God has called you to be. That's really all it is, because you know, you don't know what exactly God's called you to be, but you have to ask God to enlighten you, to show you what is your calling, and do what you can do while you're on this before he actually gives you this exact calling. Praise God. So many people are waiting for that big flash of lightning and all these revelations to come, but they very seldom come to people unless they have been consistently praying and seeking God and looking for the very real reason why they're alive. God didn't call us here to sit here. He called us here that we would be in one mind, in one accord. We can win this city. How many people believe that? I mean, really believe it. Because all those promises are to usward who believe. That's the beauty of this, praise God. Ephesians 2 and 5. Now, here again, this next passage of scriptures is an amazing thing, and I often say it blows my socks off, which brings to mind a man that used to work for me who literally had his socks blown off and his shoes blown off. We were working at Truex, where we have that drama, the other day, and he was pushing a scaffold, but it touched a hot, high wire, and that scaffold just blew apart, the wheels melted, and he was holding on to it. Would you believe that his shoes blew off, his socks blew off, and he did not get hurt, praise God. He had exit wounds on his hands and on his feet. Praise God. And this is what the dunamis power of the living God's word should do for us. These are not just things to recite. These are things to hide in your heart, to give yourself an opening in your mind that these things can happen to you. If you're complacent to be just where you are, this is exactly where you will stay. The problem with it is God requires us to grow. He requires fruit from us. There's no shortcut to this. It is a process that I've been taught since the day I walked in here 32 years ago. You keep on asking, you keep on seeking, you keep on knocking, you keep on coming to church, you keep on paying your tithes, you keep on seeking spiritual counsel, you keep on moving forward. If you're not moving forward, hallelujah, guess what you're doing? You're going backwards. Hallelujah. Who wants to go backwards? You know, I really believe that if there comes a point when you have no desire at all to do anything but sit in a church service, what purpose then does God have to keep you in divine safety? How does God then bless your finances and do the things that he wants to do for you? Sometimes he has to take and strip us of a few things. He has to take a couple things away from us until we wake up to the idea that, listen, this is not a game. There are precious souls in this city. We are standing in the gap between heaven and hell. If you truly believe that this is the only doctrine that will save you, water baptism, repentance and water baptism by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission or removal of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Years ago, I remember a man, if I recall, Pastor Grant, related this story a while back. He was a spiritual pastor or something in the city. Pastor Grant was talking to him about the plan of salvation, and he stopped Pastor Grant. He said, "Wait a minute." He said, "If you really believe that what you're telling me is truth, then you should be willing to take off your shoes and your socks and walk on broken glass on your hands and knees if need be, to go all over this city and spread this message to keep somebody out of the pits of hell. Praise God. And think about this. If we decide not to make the move, who's going to do it? Praise God. Hallelujah. It's pretty quiet in here tonight, but it is Wednesday. Hallelujah. And hath raised up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Anybody here part of the us crowd? Do you know where you're sitting right now? If you've been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, you are sitting in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus, far above all principalities and powers. That includes all spiritual wickedness in high places. That includes all these dilemmas that you're presently or could be going through sometime in the future. If you have a made up mind, it's not going to make any difference what's going on in your life, because you will know that you serve a God who's able to do above and beyond that which you're asking or thinking. He knew about your trial before you got into it. Could you believe that maybe that trial is to see what you're going to do with it, to see if you're ready to go to the next dimension, to the next level? Listen, this is how God's kingdom works. It's line upon line, precept on precept, here a little and there a little. The problem is sometimes we want to fold our tent in when we get to that big mountain that we cannot seem to get rid of. Listen, it's going to be taken care of. It will become a molehill. It does not and cannot stay a mountain. I don't care what your circumstance is. We serve a God who said he would do abundantly above all that we ask or think. Praise be the name of the living God. Hallelujah. That in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. That Christ might dwell in rich Thomas's heart by faith. That I would be rooted and grounded in love. That I might be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. And to know the love of Christ. Ephesians 3:19, that passeth knowledge, praise God. That, there's a, you know, when you see a that means that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Do you know that you can be filled with all the fullness of God to meet every one of your need according to his riches and glory? Praise God. You know, when we're aware of this divine power that God has put inside of us, we begin to feel a little bold. We can go boldly into the throne room. If you don't go in there boldly, you may as not go, just don't go in at all, because the devil will kick you out before you get through the front door. You need to go boldly into the throne room and demand your spiritual rights. God's word is God's will. If God's word declares that you are healed, then you are healed. If God said he'd take care of all of your need according to his riches and glory, he's going to do that. Now, there's obviously some conditions to that. That doesn't mean he's going to take care of your needs if you're not contributing to his cause, and if you're spending more than you make. But if you're doing the things that you need to do on a consistent basis, God is going to take care of all your need. It won't be at your time frame. It'll be just when you need it. It doesn't mean that you're never going to get sick, but it does mean that you do not have to stay sick. You do not have to stay depressed. Even Elisha got depressed, but listen, you can believe that God's sending something your way that's going to deliver you from whatever circumstance or anything that's going on in your life. I want to be a soul winner. I want my heart and my mind and my soul and my strength to be focused on seeking to save that which is lost. There's nothing better that I could possibly think of is to be able to share the word of God with someone. Someone that's hurting, someone that's halt, that's maimed and lame, someone that has a heavy heart. And you can offer them the garment of praise and take their the spirit of heaviness from them. And you can tell them about the... I talked to a guy up at the hospital, one of the men that was up there in the waiting room with Jan Rager. And I was able to share a little bit about, you know, he was obviously he was very upset and he was crying. And he said, "I'm a little self-medicated." Whew. He was a little self-medicated. He was really self-medicated. I remember the self-medication process. I remember that was the way the world copes with stress. They do. They find a drug or they find some alcohol or whatever, and that's how they cope with this pain in their heart. And I began to share, you know, how God had delivered me from circumstances that were similar to his. And Jan will attest to the fact he started crying, and he just kind of threw himself in my arms, and we hugged, and he says, "Do you think God can do that for me?" I said, "Listen, if he could do it for me, he could do it for anybody." You know, people are looking for hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have hope because we have God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now unto him, I like that, according to the power that works within us, Ephesians 3:20. If we could ever get a hold of the power that works within us 24/7, when you're down, he's working. It's there. When you're up, he's there. When you're not feeling it, he's still there. He doesn't leave you nor forsake you. He's always there, ready, willing, and wanting to meet your need. Some of you parents that are recently have become parents, I can tell my daughter Ashley, she can hear her baby whisper halfway across the house. Mothers and fathers are so sensitive to the needs of their children. How much more do you think God knows your heart? How much more does God see your tears and your sorrow and your pain? Oh, my God. You know, when we were up at the hospital, Sister Jan was up there, and she said, "You know, I think Rose Ojo just was wheeled by." And so I said, "Well, maybe I can go over and find where she's at." Well, I found her. And she just got in the room, and I went down. I says, "Rose, praise the Lord. Good to see you." She said, "How did you know I was here?" The amazing thing about Rose Ojo, those of you that have known her for many years, she used to clean the church. Brother Grant knows that. She used to dance in the spirit while she was vacuuming. I'm serious with you. Not like Dave. Dave is sort of a methodical German guy, but Rose is a Nigerian, and she was dancing and swinging, and I don't know how she kept that thing going, but she seemed to know what she was doing. But the joy of the Lord was upon her, and is still on her. I said, "Rose, how are you doing?" She says, "I got up this morning. I could not sleep. 2 o'clock. I prayed from 2 o'clock till 4 o'clock. I said, "Oh, thank you, Jesus." See, her eyes have been enlightened. Her physical circumstances are dim. She takes transfusions 3 times a week. She can't walk. And she's laying there, and we're praying, and she's singing to the Lord. I don't know what that means to you, but that means to me, listen, she's one of my heroes. She's one of my heroes because her eyes have been enlightened. She gets it. Perry Hicks is another one of my heroes. He's been in wheelchair bound for years, Sister Puckett. She makes it to church every single time. Oh, by the way, she's missing a hip. That hasn't stopped her from worshiping the Lord or going to Purpose Institute or being part of the visitor follow-up team. Perry Hicks, praise God, witnessed to Mike Bloom when he first visited our church and started a home Bible study with him. He won him to the Lord, praise God. Perry hasn't been out of that wheelchair for years, and he has such a positive spiritual attitude. We can learn so much just by being around the people in the body of Christ. And I just love all these wonderful people that have overcome. See, circumstances are going to happen to all of us. What we do with the circumstances will largely determine your happiness. If you get overcome by little circumstances, listen, Ask Brother Capaccio. Big circumstances can come your way. He kept an even keel throughout all this ordeal he's been through, and he smiles and praises God. Now, he's got things going on that you don't even know about, and you don't need to know about it, but I want you to know he could have folded the tent. He could have said, you know, I can't take this anymore. But listen, God is always with us, even to the ends of this world. I believe God is about to light a fire here at Calvary Gospel Church. I mean a real apostolic fire. We have more and more people that are wanting to get involved in the work of the Lord. We have more and more people who are saying, you know what? I want to be part of this. I want to be part of that. I want to become a teacher. I want to become a Sunday school worker. I want to do something for God. And we have outreach teams going on. We got extension works going on. We have an African ministry, African immigrant ministry going on. And I heard they had a meeting on Sunday, started at, I think, 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, and it went till 4. I heard they were worshiping so loud that the rest, one of the other classes had to move. They were having such a great time in the Lord. Praise God. And we have a BOSIS Unitas bilingual service going on. And I don't know if you understand the ramifications of all this, but listen, we probably have close to 50 countries represented here at Calvary Gospel Church. Not on every Sunday, but in all the ministries that are going on. Plus, we're ministering in the jail ministry. Listen, there's plenty of room for everybody. Find a ministry. Find something to do. Have your mind enlightened. If you don't have an enlightenment, then pray God would give you the wisdom and understanding you need to get involved in the work of the Lord. Praise God. From the moment I walked into this church, I could tell there was something different. There's something different. We hear this all the time. Calvary Gospel Church. I was there. We come, go to Cracker Barrel, and there's people come up to Pastor Grant all the time and say, oh, yeah, I go to your church. Well, they haven't been there in 5 years. What they meant to say is I go by your church. I went there twice, and now, and they consider him their pastor. They want to know where Ma Grant is. I mean, it's like there are fixtures over there. But they've made an impact. You know, we can enlighten other people just by how we act. You know, kindness is a contagious thing. It's kind of like love. You don't have to have a degree to do it. You just have to be like Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. If you stop struggling with yourself, stop trying to figure yourself out, get your eyes off of self and get your eyes on Jesus. That's when things begin to happen. That's when the Lord is able to use you. Praise God. Turn your eyes on Jesus. We used to sing that song. Look into his lovely face. The things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Remember that song? I love, and that's really true. When you're going through the things that you go through, you just start thinking about Jesus. Turn your eyes to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. In the fact of who he is, and who he has, what he's promised us. But you know, as much as we would like to stay in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we need to understand we have an enemy here. An enemy who really wants to take you down. He wants to get you out of the heavenly places. He knows as long as you stay, like in the Old Testament when they're building the walls of Jerusalem, the devil sent different men by to try to lure them off the wall and out of the high place. God works in high places. He works in mountaintops. He works high and lifted up. And when you get away from the place that God's put you in, if you get out of that dimension of heavenly places in Christ Jesus, then you're not far above all principality and power and dominion and might. Then you're down on his turf. Then you are at a disadvantage because you have then disengaged yourself from the protection of God. Every time someone wants to grow in the Lord, they have to understand there will be a battle. Brother Russell, when you went to your calling in Billings, it was a cakewalk, right? Here I am, I'm Brother and Sister Russell from Louisiana. And they said, devil says, watch this, I'm going to freeze you out. He will come against every attempt that you have made to grow spiritually. But listen, you can't lose if you stick to the program. Stick to the process. Pray, fast, seek the Lord. He's no match for you when you're sitting in heavenly places. He can't touch you. But when you get down into the lowlands, then you're down on his turf. Praise God. All hell will break loose upon you. You will see a flurry of activity if you get out of the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, if Satan can't lead you into temptation, he'll lull you into taking off your armor of God. He'll just get you so you do not really have on the whole armor of God. And for the most part, you won't even know that you don't have the whole armor of God on. In the beginning of that, it can happen so subtly. The Bible says that we need to put on the whole armor of God. You know, you wouldn't, if the best seatbelt in the world's not going to keep you safe if you don't put it on. And God has commanded we put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6 and 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He is out to get you. He's looking to destroy you. He's looking to destroy your family. So put on the armor, for goodness sake. Don't wait until the... You ever tried to put on armor in a battle? Have you ever tried to... I've been in some crazy situations in my life, but I'll tell you what, it's not time to put armor on when people are shooting at you. It doesn't work that way. You duck, you get out of the way. Don't try to put on the armor. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world. Some of you are still trying to fight battles that are you think are in your mind, but the reality of them, they are spiritual wickedness in high places. They've got your number. They come back to you with the same thoughts again and again and again. Even though Paul said, put every thought in subjection, praise God. Subjection to what? The Word. The Word. You have to pass all these negative thoughts through the Word. If it doesn't agree with the Word, discard it. Get thee behind me, Satan. That's not my mail. That's your mail. You're trying to get me to read your mail, not my mail. Praise God. Take on the whole armor of God. Stand thee therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, Ephesians 6:14, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, there's so many folks that love God and they don't have their loins girt about with truth. It's possible to love God with everything you have, but not have all the truth. And you have to understand, it's God seeking to get the rest of the truth into you. He never will take anything away from you. He will add to whatever is going on spiritually in your life. He'll show you. He'll give you revelation. Your eyes will be enlightened. Praise God. Whole armor of God. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. It's all between your left and your right ear. Fiery darts are thoughts. If you keep getting reoccurring thoughts, have you ever considered that it was not you? Think about it. How come you get thoughts that are contradictory to what God has promised you? You think something might be going on here in another world where they're trying to torment you? Are you saying I'm possessed? Absolutely not. A stronghold is a collection of thoughts and actions that diametrically oppose the Word of God. God has the answer. He has a solution. But if you will not agree with his solution, you still have the problem. Reoccurring problems are easy to get rid of if you will take and do it the way God has set it up for us to be delivered. Praise God. The shield of faith, that shield was as large as this pulpit here. And historians say that people actually got behind the faith. Because these fiery darts will come 24/7 until you resist them. How do you resist the fiery darts? Anybody know? You have to take control of your thought process. You have to filter thoughts that come to your mind to determine where they're coming from. And if it's pure and peaceful and full of righteousness and holiness and it encourages you, that's of God. Satan doesn't send you mail like that. Does this make sense? But it breaks my heart sometimes when I see people who have the same issue again and again and again and again. You don't have to be that way. Praise God. There are a couple things we must do. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto unto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We focus on prayer at Calvary Gospel Church. We encourage people to pray. We teach it in our Christian development. We encourage people to learn how to pray. When I first came in, I was lucky enough to spend some time with Pastor Grant, and I said, "What do I have to do to grow?" He says, "Well, get some 3x5 cards," he said, "write down scriptures and put them in your pocket and get a topic and start working on that topic and be always working on something." You say, what should I work on? What's your problem? What are you dealing with today? What's the most recurring problem of your life? Well, why don't you just get into the Word of God and pick out a solution? There's the solution for our problem in the scripture. But see, I don't want to live in that dimension. I want to live in Victory Lane. I want to live in Glory Hallelujah Boulevard. I want to live in, I was once blind, but now I see. I was once at a place where I did not know God. I was destined to a devil's hell, but now my God has set me free. Glory to God. If you get this, if you really understand it, you won't have any trouble. You will have troubles, but you won't stay there. You won't stay between the rock and a hard place, because you'll understand the rock is Jesus, and he's following you to give you rivers of living water if you allow him to do it. Praise God. What a way to live. Every day you wake up with the right attitude and right spirit. If it's not right, then pray until it does get right. Analyze yourself. The Bible says, let a man examine himself. Paul said, I die daily. What was he saying? He decided that every day he was going to search his heart. He was going to comb through it for bad attitudes, for bitterness, for anything that might contradict the promises of God. Because he was praying for enlightenment, just like he's asking us to do. Praise God. You must put on the whole armor of God. Don't get slothful in your warfare. I've seen men get killed over in Vietnam because they thought it was a joke. They didn't put on their helmets and they did crazy things and thought it was cute. It wasn't cute after they were dead, but while they were doing it, they never took it seriously. I was scared to death, and I took every precaution to stay alive, only because I wanted to come home and drink some more. Hallelujah. That's the truth. Hebrews 12:1, the Bible says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. What's your weight? Never mind. I know what you were thinking. Every weight. What is a weight? It's something that just keeps coming up. It's an itch that you can't scratch. You can't put your finger on it, but you know it's there, and it keeps coming back. And listen, we need to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run. We're not walking. We're not sitting. He's told us to run with patience the race that is set before us. Every one of us has a race set before them. God, when he called you out of darkness into his light, has given you a race to run. That race can only be run by you. It can only be fulfilled by you submitting yourself to the plan that God has for your personal life. It all begins with you submitting to the salvation process, but after that, that's just the beginning. That's like a ticket to get on a train or a plane or a passport to go in another country. That's not the end of it. That's the beginning of it. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come into you. The power to what? The power to witness, the power to love. You know, one of the things we don't talk about much, you know, one of the greatest benefits that I see in this apostolic experience is the ability to love other people sincerely from the bottom of your heart. You can love people that you just met. You can empathize with people that are going through struggles and trials. Love is an amazing thing. You can love your wife in a dimension you've never loved before. You can love your children. You can love your neighbors. You can love your brothers and your sisters. And all this flows down from the Father above. For he starts all that. It all flows downhill. Praise God. Praise God. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus. Where are you looking tonight for your solutions? He is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Praise God. We have to understand that there are other things that we need to beware of, but the one thing that we don't talk a lot about, and that's idolatry. And we think sometimes idolatry is just creating an image of another god. But if you take a close look at Exodus, particularly 20 and 5, and the Bible says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to these gods, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third and the fourth generation. He told us not to make anything of any graven image or any likeness of anything in heaven or earth. But you know, there can be things in our life that become idols that will keep you from the presence of God, that will keep you from being enlightened. There are things that can come, and I've seen it happen in my life, and I'm sure idolatry isn't the issue, isn't an issue. It is the issue. If you look at this, all roads lead back to the overlooked concept of false gods. We, as born-again saints of the living God, we need to remember that anything that is keeping you from worshiping God or doing what you want to do for the Lord, it could be a food addiction, it could be alcohol, it could be family, it could be friends, it could be hunting, it could be, I don't know about fishing. What do you think? Fishing. Jim, some people get into bodybuilding. If you could imagine idolatry, it's a giant tree, and there's many branches on this tree. And one branch might have a pot of gold on it, and another one might have a mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all. Another could be lust, but it's out of that same tree. It's just a branch of that tree. You could have an unforgiving spirit. You could have bitterness. Another could be a branch with all your possessions hanging there. And you look at all the things that you own and you think, boy, what else could I build? Idolatry is always the tree from which our sins and struggles grow. It's the trunk of the tree. And all of our other problems stem from idolatry, because anything that at all that becomes a substitute for our relationship with God. Is this making sense to you? It made sense to me. Anything that becomes a substitute for God in our lives can become an idol. If you'd stand with me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. What will a man give for his soul? I don't know about you, but I want to seek after divine revelation. I want to seek after the God who gave me life. I want to seek after the promises of God. You know, one of the saddest stories in the Bible is when Samson had his eyes put out. Here's a man that was mightily used of God. And sometimes we can have our own spiritual eyes put out. We can have eyes, but we can't see because we went too far into the world, and we have so many precious people that are not with us tonight. And the reason being is that they dabbled in this, but they never committed. They started and stopped and started and stopped and started and stopped. Praise God. Well, listen, you're here tonight. You can become renewed tonight. If you're here tonight and you're looking to start a relationship with God, if you're looking for His riches and glory, they're here. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I really, really want to do something for God. I really want my life to make a difference. Anybody with me on that? You know, together we can accomplish the vision of Calvary Gospel Church. Together, two are gathered together in my name agreeing on any one thing. What happens if we got 500 people agreeing? What if we have 800 people agreeing? What happens when everyone buys into the vision? Our lives will change because we'll no longer be complacent. We'll feel compelled to share the gospel. We'll feel compelled to be enlightened. We'll want to know more about the promises of God and how to procure them. Would you lift up your hands with me and begin to ask God, Lord, if there's anything in my life that I need to get rid of, if there's any sin or any weight, I come to you right now in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I want to be not only saved, but I want to be productive in your kingdom. I want my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength to be focused on the living God. I'm so thankful for the things that you've done for me, Lord. I'm thankful for my home. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for my pastor. God, I want to do more, Lord. I want to submit myself to you, Lord, in a new and fresh way. Is anyone here tonight that would like to recommit? We're very early into 2013. This would be a great time to say, you know what, Lord? I'm done struggling. I don't want to go any further. I want you to deliver me from anything that's causing me a problem from seeking you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. Anyone like to come up here? We'd love to pray with you. If you're here tonight and you've never had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to share with you this wonderful experience.